Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of 1 Chronicles with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through 1 Chronicles chapters 23 and 24, where we see that you have to be who you are in Christ. God made you in a specific and special way, for a reason and for His glory. If you try to be someone else, it will not be a good fit. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in 1 Chronicles chapters 23 and 24.
You'd be turning around, my name's right here. Look at this. You'd have it highlighted. You'd have it underlined. It'd mean the world to you. For these people who are coming out of Babylonian captivity, this meant everything to them. They're finding their identity. Look at this is the calling of God. It's a generational calling. This is my great-grandfather, my grandfather, and my father's house. Like, I'm from this line. This is the call of God for me. And there's this excitement. Listen, there should be that excitement for you, too, when God solidifies your calling. What are you? Are you a preacher? Are you a teacher? Are you a worship leader? Are you a songwriter? Are you a friendly, hospitable person who opens doors? Are you a security person? Do you love children? Do you tend to the babies? Do you want to go make drinks for people in the cafe? Like, what is your ministry? Are you an evangelist? Are you, like, always wanting to take tracts and Bibles and go on the streets and hand them out? Like, God should be speaking to you His calling, and there should be a stirring. There's nobody here who has no calling. Everybody has a calling. You're all part of the body of Christ. You're a member of the body of Christ. Then you have something to contribute. Nobody here is just brought into the kingdom just to be a bench warmer. Nobody. Nobody here, if you got air in your lungs, I said this last week, I'll say it again, that means that God has plans and purposes for you. He's not done with you. The way that you'll know He's done with you is when you see His face. You'll be in His kingdom. That means that your time on earth is over when He brings you home. If He hasn't brought you home yet, because I know some of you, you lost your spouse, you're a widow, you're a widower, and I've had so many say to me, why am I still here? God took my wife, God took my husband, because He's not done with you. Their testimony's over, yours isn't. God still has plans and purposes for you, still going to use your life. So you should be just as excited as these people were. What am I? What's my gift? Am I an intercessor? Maybe that's your gift. I just love to pray, you say. Pastor, I want to pray. I want to tell me the needs of the people. What's going on? Who's in the hospital? Who's sick? Who's broke? Who needs God's intervention in their lives? Maybe you love to pray for people. Everyone has a niche in the kingdom. Everybody's got something that God wants them to do that only they could do. Not that you can't be replaced, not that I can't be replaced. If I throw my Bible down and I walk off the stage at 7:40 a.m. on Wednesday night, the church ain't going to collapse. It's that it doesn't rise and fall with me. Somebody else will right away step in and onward, upward, this church will go. Not a problem. I'm not suggesting otherwise. But at the same time, I am suggesting that there is only one me. Thank God. And there is only one you. And God has made you fearfully and wonderfully, according to His blueprints, how He wanted you to be. And He wants to use your antics, your isms, your idiosyncrasies, your annoyances, your giftings. He wants to use your, if you're a downer, if you're bubbly, He wants to use you in a way that only He could use you. And it will be truly a unique way. It will be a very unique way. My staff and I were talking about this morning. It would just be something that God, I remember when I first started teaching in the sanctuary, subbing in as a 17, 18-year-old kid. My dad was the pastor, so I would stand behind the pulpit like he would. And no one in the church at the time moved around like I do now. Everyone that subbed stood behind a pulpit with a stationary mic. And I remember having to hold on to that microphone with everything I had, and I was preaching like this and all over the place, and I was so uncomfortable trying to just be what everybody else was and just trying to keep it very teachy instead of preachy, which is more my nature. And I remember some of the older guys, because I was a teenager, just sort of shooting little javelins at me like Saul did to David when he was coming up. and making fun of me and saying, oh, you're some Baptist priest. Look at you moving around and you're an evangelist, making fun of me, making fun of me. You know what happened? They either died or God moved them on. And you got to be who you are. You got to be who you are in Christ. God can't use you when you're trying to wear somebody else's armor bearer. They put David in Saul's armor bearer. It didn't go so well. He said, Saul, I'm uncomfortable. You're like 7 foot something. I'm 5'6" and a half, like David Tommaso. That's a spiritual matter. I mean, 5'7", most likely, but either which way, like we're not these big guys that need these big armor bearers. We just use stones and slings, and that's what I fight with. That's what I know. That's what's comfortable to me. A shepherd's staff, like that's what I'm comfortable with. That's what I've used all my life. I don't want to wear another man's armor or gear. It won't work for me, and it won't work for you either. You have to be who you are, and you don't have to apologize for it. You just be who you are, and you let God use you in that way. That's really freeing. Really freeing. You do the best you can with what you got for the glory of God. So it tells us here, these people are stoked out of their minds. Their names are showing up. They're realizing that God's not done with them, even though their family had been in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. You don't hear from God for a month or two and you think he's done with you. 70 years. They're coming back into the land. The writer here is encouraging them, saying, no, this is your heritage. This is your history. Despite your parents' folly. Despite your folly. And it lists these people's names. Then in verse 12 down to verse 20, it gives you the lineage of Kohath. And I want you to see something here. It says in verse 12, the sons of Kohath were Amram and Izhar and Hebron and Uziel, 4. And then it says the sons of Amram were two people that you should be really familiar with, Aaron and Moses. They're wrapped up in that lineage. And then down in verse 21 to verse 23, the sons of Merari. And in verse 24, it says, these were the sons of Levi after the house of their fathers, even the chief of the fathers, as they were counted by number of names by their polls that did the work of the service of the house of the Lord. But something happens here. And if you're not paying attention, you wouldn't see it. But if you are, then you'll notice right away. It says that the service of these people started at the age of 20 years and upward. Earlier on in our Bible study, it said 30 and upward. Under Moses, you had to be 30. I told you about this last week. There was this call of you serve God from 30 to 50 in this realm. And I think that that's something to be said of the maturity that God deemed necessary for the person who's representing him. There's got to be a seriousness about serious things. It's cool to joke. It's cool to have a good time. It's cool to break chops. It's cool to be light and airy and featherly sometimes. But other times, man, when it comes to the kingdom and serving the Lord, you got to be serious about serious things. And I think that overall, there's something to be said around the age of 30. And there's this, hey, from 30 to 50, in the midst of a man's strength and vigor and just growth here, that's when God wants, he wants man in his prime, if you would. And David here lowers the age from 30 to 20. So like we start the Bible study with this exhortation of if you're full of days, which is a nice way of saying you're at the end of your days, God wants to use you. But then here, the Holy Spirit is so amazing. His word is so balanced. He flips the coin. He goes like this. But if you're in the beginning of your adult years, the beginning of your days, you're just coming out of your teens, you're 20, man, God wants to use you too. In other words, like the number, the numeric value to your life really means nothing to God so long as your heart is yielded to him. If you're 20, if you're 50, if you're 70, if you're just getting out of your parents' house, Or if you're about to leave your house and go to glory, man, like, and anywhere in between, God's got plans for you and he wants to use your life. And there's a place, because that's the other trip that people in the church put on others, the young people. You're too young. That's another thing. When I used to preach, I used to make fun of it. You use examples of a trial being that your cell phone broke. Yeah, sir, what do you want me to use? I'm 17. What do you want me to use at that age? You know, you don't have a ton of things necessarily. You don't have a lot of life experience to draw from. But I don't see anywhere in Scripture where life is experience as a necessity to be used by the Lord. It's wisdom. And wisdom, you could be wiser at 17 than a person could be at 70, because wisdom is the right application of knowledge. There's a lot of people that are full of knowledge, and yet they're dum-dums. See, that was wisdom. I slowed down, and I was careful with what I said. Wisdom is the right application of knowledge. And I'll tell you what makes you wise. The scriptures do. Reading the Bible makes you wise. It makes you sound smarter than you are. It makes you more mature than you would ever be apart from it. It's the scriptures. God can use a 20-year-old just like he can use a 7-year-old. In other words, it doesn't matter what your age is. God can use you. So listen, don't say you didn't get anything out of Bible study tonight. God spoke to you. He could use you. Stop with your excuses and the reasons why you're dismissing his ability to use you. He could use you. And the greatest, most important thing that you'll ever do is not for the Lord, but to the Lord. Lord, I'm doing this to you for your glory, God. I'm not trying to perform. I'm not trying to earn. I'm just doing this as unto you, God, with the little that I have. For David said, verse 25, the Lord God of Israel has given rest unto his people that they might dwell in Jerusalem forever. And also unto the Levites, they're no longer going to carry the tabernacle, the tent, right? We're about to build the house. No reason to have certain people carrying pieces of the house of God. It's not movable anymore. It's not mobile. It's the first rearrangement of these things since Moses. So he's saying, like, this no longer has to be where they're carrying stuff. There's no longer any vessels of it for the service thereof. For, verse 27, by the last words of David, the Levites were numbered from 20 years old and above, because their office was to wait on the sons of Aaron for the service of the house of the Lord in the courts and in the chambers and in the purifying of all holy things and the work of the service of the house of God. Listen, the showbread and the fine flour for meat offering and for the unleavened cakes and for that which is baked in the pan and for that which is fried. Like, everything matters to God. And no, you're not like, did I just read that right? Yes, you did. What's baked in the oven, what's fried in the pan, it all matters to God. Everything matters to God. Whatever we do with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all our strength. Everything matters. From the people in the cafe popping bagels, all the way to the doctrine that comes forth from the stage. Everything matters to the Lord. Some of you need to hear that tonight, because the devil's crafty and he tells you nobody cares what you do. You come into Calvary, no one gave you any praise. No one said, and I know you're going to laugh right now if it's striking you, because it's like, oh, that's ridiculous. Right, but you feel it though. Because I do too sometimes. Our service to the Lord is thankless sometimes. Our service, because I'll tell you what, the other thing is when you serve God, you make yourself vulnerable. And it's like, man, I just learned this phrase the other day. I just showed out for everybody here and nobody even cared. I just came here, man. I rushed from work. I got stuff going on at home. I hustled here to teach those kids. Nobody even cared. I came here to shovel the driveway, the patio. Nobody even noticed me, man. If I stopped coming, I bet you nobody would even know. I know some of you heard that before. No one calls me. No one texts me. Nobody notices me. A pastor doesn't even know my name. And we all get this stuff. So I'm speaking from experience. We all get this stuff, man. Sometimes I go to pastor conferences and retreats, and I get so ripped off. Like, man, I am not one of these guys. And so I know how it feels. I know what you all feel sometimes. And the Lord says to you tonight, see, that's why the Bible is so important, not your thinking, because the Bible sets you straight. The Bible says to you, you're wrong. You fried something in a pan, do it as unto the Lord, it matters. You put something in the oven, do it as unto the Lord, it matters. You taught the kids, only 5 showed up, do it as unto the Lord, it matters. My prayer tonight is that I would come out like it's 75 degrees and sunny and blue skies and there's 1,000 people here, and I treat this study the same as I would if there's only 150 or 200 people on a dark, dreary February night, because we do it unto the Lord, whatever we do. Okay, so you matter. What you do matters. We don't assess things the way that the world assesses them. We don't, you know, how many people are coming to your church? It doesn't matter how many people are coming to my church. Whoever comes that day is who I care for. I'm going to minister to them. Whoever God puts in front of you, that's who you minister to. Whatever God gives you to do that day, you do it. And you do it with all that you have. And it matters. If you stop doing it, there's a lack. If you stop showing up, you're letting the Lord down. You're letting the Lord's people down. It matters. Don't give in to the enemy, man. People leave churches so easily. What are you going to do? Where are you going to go? We're going to see you at Wegmans. Going to see you. It's going to be awkward for both of us, but especially you, because you're the one who bounced. It's going to be weird. If there's not, and I'm not, listen, if you don't go here, I'm not trying to get you to come here. I don't do that. I don't build on another man's work. If you're here because your church doesn't have a midweek, come on, we'd love to have you. But listen, go back home on Sunday. If your church teaches the word of God and your pastor's a man of God, listen, go for it. I'm all about it. Stay where you are. You should be there. Here's what I'm trying to say, though. Unless there's, like, sin, and even then, like, let the Lord deal. And if it goes undealt with for a long time and there's, like, heretical teaching, okay, then maybe you got a reason to leave. But just because there's some new kid on the block down the road that's sort of good, he'll get old after a while. You sit under anybody for a long enough time, if your heart's not right, anybody will get old. But if your heart is right, you could receive from anybody. You understand what I'm saying? A person can only say something so clever and new for so long, but everybody's got, like, they're going to start saying things the same. Everybody is. Go listen to anybody. I don't care who you listen to. Go watch Joel Osteen. Go however you want to. Their mannerisms, you're going to be able to impersonate them, because everybody sort of does the same thing. You can only spin things so many ways. You don't leave a church. You don't leave a facility where God is using you for a reason, like, man, what I'm doing doesn't matter. It matters. And if you do it unto the Lord, you won't stay there anyways. You'll get over it. So it says here, like, the Lord's just, he's encouraging these people. I'm encouraged. You bake in the pan? Great. We need bakers. You fry some pickles. Fry some onion rings, fry it up, fry my shoe. Willie, whatever you fry, man, like, just what a blessing to have fryers in the church, amen? Everyone's smiling, we're so excited about the frying ministry. Do we have a frying ministry here? Like, we need to. We need a frying ministry. Fry it, Oreos, whatever you want, you just fry it up. Calorie Chapel, let's go. And then it says here in verse 30, this is an important one. I love this here. I find this very interesting. I was convicted by this. I had a really hard time moving past this because I don't do it enough. I'll just confess my faults to you. It says that I want, David says, and remember, everything's coming from the Holy Spirit. There's got to be people who are standing every morning to thank the Lord and to praise the Lord. And I want it at evening too. Every morning, every day has to begin with praising and thanking God. And every day has to end with thanking and praising God. I'm pretty good on the first part. I'm not so great on the second part. I get so tired at night. I have a hard time doing anything besides just crashing. I just want to watch TV and, like, dull out. I just want to, like, not think. But I think it's super important because a heart of gratitude is really good for us to have. God, thank you for letting me get up this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the heat coming out of the ducts in my house. Thank you for the food in the fridge. God, thank you for my blankets, my couch. For me, it's my Frenchie. He sits with me on my lap. He wraps his arm around my arm, and he holds my arm down so I can only use one arm to read my Bible and sip my coffee all at the same time. And that's the reason why I have a stiff neck, but I thank the Lord for him. I thank the Lord for my kids upstairs. I mean, you got to thank the Lord. It's really important because we got this tendency, this propensity to treat the Lord like he's a genie, and we just want to tell him what we need. God, today I need this and I need that. God, I need your favor here and I need your blessings there. And it's fine. We can do all that, but we should thank the Lord. Every day, listen, another word everybody should leave with tonight. Go home with it. Thank the Lord when you get up and praise God when you get up and thank the Lord when you go to bed and praise God when you go to bed. God, thank you that you saw me through today. It was a rough one. It was miserable, God, at a certain point. Or it was awesome, God. You blessed me. Every good and perfect gift, it comes from you. It's a really healthy habit to thank God at the beginning and to thank God at the end. David says this, when I come to the house of the Lord, I want to hear voices thanking God. It's encouraging. Listen, when you walked in tonight and you heard people praising God, what did it do for you? Could you imagine if we were one of those churches where everybody just kind of just stood there and hands hanging down and tapping their foot, like, looking at their clocks like this, and nobody's singing, nobody's clapping, nobody's raising their hand, that would be very defeating to you. Aren't you thankful that you come into a house where every time there's a service, praise is being lifted up? Even if it's not our team that's up here yet, there's music when you walk into. I like that. I told my staff, when I come in during the week, I want there to be music outside. I want to hear music. I want to hear music in the foyer, music down the halls. There's a liveliness to it. Right? Should praise the Lord. Should lift our hands. Should clap our hands. Should stand to our feet. David says, morning and night, let's praise God. And offer burnt offerings, verse 31. That's got to happen too in the Sabbaths, in the new moons, and on the set feasts. By number, according to the order commanded unto them, continually before the Lord. Let's keep it going, he says. And they should keep the charge of the tabernacle of the congregation and the charge of the holy place and the charge of the sons of Aaron, their brethren, in the service of the house of the Lord. Now, verse 1, chapter 24, he says this here. Here's the order of the priests. Gave you the Levites in chapter 23, and now he's going to give you the order of the priests in chapter 24. And again, it's going to be divided in 4 and 20 orders, speaking to us of heaven. These are the divisions of the son of Aaron. The sons of Aaron were Nadab and Abihu. You guys remember what happened with them? The Lord dealt with them, killed them because of the strange fire that they offered up. Eleazar and Ithamar, but Nadab and Abihu died before their father. They had no children. Therefore, Eleazar and Ithamar executed the priest's office. And David, verse 3, distributed them, both Zadok of the sons of Eleazar and Ahimelech. Anybody remember Ahimelech? He is the son of Abiathar. You guys remember him? He's a friend of David. It was his priest during his exile from Saul. For those of you who want to go on a little rabbit trail later, there's some depth here. He's skipped over because of the betrayal when David was dying that he committed against David and ultimately against Solomon when Adonijah, David's other son, tried to usurp the throne and take it from his brother Solomon. He skipped. We'll see him in just a few minutes. But he's here, for those of you who care. Ahimelech of the sons of Ithamar, according to their offices in their service. And there were more chief men found of the sons of Eleazar than of the sons of Ithamar. Watch how the Lord deals with our pettiness right now. Watch this. I was going to skip. I'm not going to skip. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you two things. Watch how the Lord deals with our pettiness. And there were, listen to verse 4. Listen again what the Lord has to say in his word, because he knows we are no different than our little kids. There were more chief men found of the sons of Eleazar than the sons of Ithamar. And thus were they divided. Among the sons of Eleazar, there's 16. 16 chief men of the house of their fathers. And 8 men among the sons of Ithamar, according to the house of their fathers. The Holy Spirit here is guiding the administration and the organization that's being prescribed. One family gets double the amount of the other family. Lots are being cast. It's not like going to a casino and gambling. They're not like throwing dice, like blowing on the dice and rolling the dice. This is like the way that God spoke through the casting of lots to his people in these times. One family, 16, the other family, 8. How come? I don't know. You hear me in the back? On the sides, in the front, everywhere, right? I don't know. Because this is the prevalent question, Pastor, how come so? I don't know.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. My blood and water.